This is Cake Fire Radio.
How are you guys doing?
Doing wonderful. Everybody, welcome to Cage Fire Radio. You guys know we have a beautiful sponsor in BroBase.com. Reed Parker and the boys, we love you guys. Once again, thank you for supporting Cage Fire Radio. Everybody get out there and check out BroBase.com. And hopefully we'll be announcing a new sponsor next week joining the show. We're looking forward to that. Speaking of Miss Caitlin, Miss Quack Attack, you and I have a wonderful friend. He's a Madhouse sponsored fighter by the name of Sam Sealander.
Did you just say wonderful?
I did. The Sea Monster is going to be joining us on Cage Fire Radio and actually taking over my spot and becoming your new co-host. So let's bring him in.
It's amazing. I'm the reason. Everybody fired up this season. I'm exhausted, barely breathing, holding on to what I believe. And no matter what, you never take that from me.
What's up?
Sam.
What up?
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin.
Don't mock me already.
I'm not mocking you. I was responding in a friendly manner.
Oh, of course. I know.
Everybody out there, Sam and Caitlin go way back. You know, Sam is a fighter, like I said before, somebody we love and respect, somebody who reps that Madhouse name really well. And for the next little while he's doing rehab to get back into the fight game, he's going to start working for Madhouse in a media aspect. And tonight's going to be his first show of many, many, many shows to come, and I believe we're going to see you doing a blog here shortly, too, correct?
Yep, you absolutely are. There should be an article coming out on him tonight or tomorrow night. Whenever he decides that it's good enough, there should be an article coming out on Sam.
I'm picky.
Well,
I know you are.
Sam, Go ahead, Sam.
I was going to say your article doesn't talk about my looks enough, but...
Oh, my bad. I didn't want to lie to everybody.
It doesn't compliment my smile.
Your crazy smile?
Anyway, what was that?
Hey, Sam, I was going to say, you know, somebody who likes to, you know, keep their cards, you know, close to their deck, I'd like to give a big shout-out to Lion Tony Hart Kirby, the fighter who Madhouse has much love for. He's been on our show multiple times. You guys know him. He has fought all over the world. He just sent me an official press release, not 5 minutes before we went live. You guys are going to be the first to hear that he has signed a contract for Bellator 82. He will be fighting on November 30th what is it, Sarnowski Alexander, 20-1, going against a 15-12 Tony. Now, for anybody out there who doesn't know Tony, you guys haven't heard him on the show, you know he hates the lay and pray fighters. And he told me that this guy's willing to stand and bang. This guy wins fights on his feet. So Tony is super excited about that. So I want to give a big shout out to Tony, somebody we love. And you know, I wish him the best of luck. I'm glad that he worked out his contracts and was able to leave the organization he was with, give up his titles there, and go to Bellator. So big shout out to him. You guys, crazy weekend of MMA, man. We were everywhere. Madhouse was killing it. Sam, since you're the newbie, man, any events this past weekend you watched that just blew you away, caught your eyes, any fights that you were happy to see?
Yeah, the Kung Lee fight, man. I ruined it a little bit for myself on Facebook because I was stupid enough to get on Facebook before I watched the whole event. But right when I saw Lee, the knockout of the night for Lee, I was like, okay, what? And I was like, there's no way Lee knocked out Franklin. And then when I watched the knockout, I swear to God, I watched it like 13 more times after that. So I was just astonished that Lee actually knocked out Franklin. So I was kind of pissed off there because I like Franklin. And I watched Bellator 80 and that Vetipio or whatever his name is choke that me and you were talking about on Rogue Radio. I'm still kind of trying to figure that one out.
Oh, yeah, the Vetipio joke, man. You know, me, Jeff from Clinch Custom Mouth, Gardner, and Blue Lapaki from Madhouse Live, we all watched that together, and it was Chris Gregory, I take that back, not Lapaki. That was an crazy impressive finish, Miss Caitlin. I don't know if you saw that or not, but the gentleman got put in a triangle choke. He reversed, he literally rolled the triangle choke over, brought the shin under the guy's throat, grabbed the far shoulder, and rolled him into that chin and choked him out while he was in a triangle. It was amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Never seen it done before. I'll tell you what fight, you know, you guys, everybody knows, we covered NAAFS Caged Fury 20. We covered Battlefield Fight League 19. We covered Rumble at the Roseland 67. Complete Devastation 7. Spartan Combat League. You know, we were all across the country, guys. And you guys can go to madhouse.com at any time and check out results for events. We're doing great articles from Sam and Caitlin and Lapaki and the crew. I will, guys, I got to touch on a fight. Rumble at the Roseland. The card fell apart at the last minute.
Really?
Some of the fights that were supposed to
happen,
you know.
I know, I saw that the Alex Corrales one did, and I was so disappointed.
I was too, and, you know, somebody like Sam could speak to that as a fighter, which is really great to have a fighter on the show now. How disappointing is that, Sam, when you prepared for a major title fight in a battle, and just 2 days before, the fight falls out?
Dude, I saw that on Alex Corrales wasn't fighting either, and I, like, went to his wall immediately. Personally, for myself, I've only had, like, one fighter ever really back out on me. And, dude, it sucked. I was glad for that the next week, since I was prepared to fight, that I actually went and fought Dave McManus the week before I was supposed to fight at Caged on the Coast. My fighter backed out on me, and we were trying to, you know, find anybody to fight that night, but I didn't get to fight, and I was so mad. I remember being so mad because I cut my weight, prepared best I could. Like, I was in incredible shape, and then to have my fighter back out on me, I was just pissed off. Like, I just didn't understand why he didn't show up, and Alex Corrales, this guy, from what I heard, backed out and didn't show up. So having a guy no-show on you while you're there and ready is just that much worse for you.
Now, for those of you guys who don't know a lot about the local MMA in Oregon, there's another fighter on that card who, if I was a betting man, I'd have lost really bad on. David Converse fought Brian Tsunami. And everybody knows David Converse. He was 11-1 going into this fight, and he lost the split decision. I doubt you guys got to see it, but reading the round-by-round from Dream Crusher, Devin Asher, Team House member, it sounds like this guy and David need to have a rematch. It was a 29-28 split. So, you know, it could have gone either way. It really could have. It's nice to see that there's competition out there, you know, at that weight class for David, because he was starting to clean out that weight class.
Yeah. I actually recently watched David fight at Budo Fights, and he did really good. And I was rooting for him going into Rumble with the Roseland. I was surprised when I saw that split decision loss, because from what I've seen and heard, he's a really good fighter.
Well, another fighter, Ms. Caitlin and Sam, both we watched at Budo Fights, and you guys have probably seen fight multiple times, and that's Dylan Atkinson. And he won a pretty impressive five-round fight against, what was it, Journey Newsome, I believe his name
is.
I could, you know, that was an impressive win. He, you know, this kid took him into deep waters. Dylan stayed smart to his game, kept dragging, you know, Atkinson to the ground, and Atkinson was very smart about it, stayed tight to his game. And, you know, I got to say, Rumble at the Roseland really had an impressive card for losing so many fights. You know, a lot of people out there know about the super heavyweight fight. There's no point in talking about it. You guys have already done all that. But, you know, we'll go on to some other better fights. And, you know, I got to say that a big shout-out, you know, to the guys over at Spartan Combat League. They had a great event as well. Stroop won a unanimous decision over Michael Matthews, which is really cool because Michael took the fight at last minute, you know, to make sure this main event went on. So that was a good deal there. For everybody out there, Colorado MMA, man, Madhouse is covering it now. We've got some events this weekend. We've got some articles up on the site about some local fighters. So you guys check that out.
Do you know how many fights Rumble at the Roseland actually lost on their card? Because I thought their beginning card only had 11 fights to start with.
I see. I was on the first card I saw had 16 fights, but that was 3.5 weeks ago, right after the last Rumble. So maybe that was even 4 weeks ago. You know, I saw a preliminary card, and, you know, Rumble's, they usually put on about 17 to 20 fights on that card normally. So for this anniversary card, I felt like it was, you know, it should have been a lot bigger. It should have been a lot more promoted. It should have been a lot
more advertised and exposed.
And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'd like to ask your opinions on this. With it being a 10-year anniversary card, what do you think about the fact that they didn't go all out, you know, with, you know, because if you look at their list of, you know, fighters that have fought for them, you've got, and nobody out there, quote me on this, this is all off the top of my head, but I believe Lapaki's all-time favorite fighter, Nathan The Rock Corey fought there, Chris Leavens fought there, Ed Herman's fought there, I believe Josh Haynes, I mean, the list goes on and on for fighters that have fought at this organization. I thought they would have had a huge blowout with Chael, and, you know.
I think it's just disappointing and discouraging to the, definitely probably to the fans that go and watch most of the Rumbles, that it's definitely just disappointing, because you would expect for, especially for a 10-year anniversary, that it would be bigger and better and go all out. So it's probably just disappointing, like, especially seeing so many fighters drop off the card. That's definitely, it doesn't look that good.
I totally agree with you. I believe there was only one title fight. All the rest were super fights, which, don't get me wrong, I'd have stacked that card with every single title I have, and every other fight would have been a super fight. I would have called up.
Yeah, it would have been cool to do all title fights or something like that.
Right? It's 10 years. I mean, you know, Sam, you're a fighter in the Pacific Northwest. You know, fighting for FCFF, from what I've understood from fighters, is an honor. I mean, it's something that a lot of fighters want to do because of how well the names of the organization is. What do you think of this 10-year card? Do you think it was a good card? Do you think they should have done a bigger card?
I think they could have done bigger. I mean, but, like, I don't think Keeney was under the impression that that many fights would pull. So I saw the card just like you did, and I thought it was a stellar card. They tried to have their first – well, they had their first ever pro fight on there, which was pretty big for a 10-year anniversary, throwing in, you know, like, a pro fight like that. Now they've opened the doors for their 20-year anniversary or whatever, you know. Now they can put on pros and stuff. But I think it's awesome. Like, the two main people out here in Oregon that I'd love to fight for, I've only fought for one. It's the FCFF and it's Budo Fights, and I've only ever fought for Budo out here and another local place. But those are the two main places that come to mind out here in Oregon, and fighting for the FCFF is really big for Oregon fighters because are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here. Yeah. We can hear you.
Oh, I'm getting a different call. Hold on. I'll ignore it. Anyway, sorry, my bad. I was totally thrown off. But, yeah, like I said, the FCFF is a big organization. They probably could have promoted it more and brought... But, like I said, I don't think Keeney was... I think Keeney probably thought all the fighters he had on the card were solid and would have shown, like, Alex Carell as his opponent. But I think it just... Shit happened that night, and things went for the worst instead of for the best.
Yeah, and obviously for the fans out there, I mean, you had, what, 8 of the fights were decisions, and out of those, I believe all but one were unanimous. So, you know, I look at it like, obviously the fans got some action-packed fights. You know, they weren't all first-round KOs, but I still think, you know, you talk 10-year anniversary, man, you got to have on that poster, you know, UFC legends, history of the full contact fighting federation, you know, and have photos of all them here live for the 10-year anniversary to see 8 title fights up, you know, 6 guys and 2 girls, one night, done it all. You can buy a ticket, but you won't need to see, you know. I mean, you could have sold this card so well. I mean, you could have people on the East Coast begging for results. Which but I mean, not for the whole event, you know, which is people were begging for results for one fight for the wrong reason. And that's what I didn't like about this. I mean, this whole card had stink around it, you know, and I wish it wouldn't have. I mean, this was their 10-year to the month. This wasn't like, you know, I believe November 2nd was 1992 was the first event they put on. So you're talking like a week within 10 years, man. You got to go all out, man. You got to have Chris Leben there. You got to have, you know, Nate Corey and you know, Josh Haynes and all these guys. You got to bring in some guest, you know, referees, big names. I mean, you got to go all out for something like this.
You know what would have been really cool is if they would have had some rematches of some of their best fights, is if they would have had rematches of those same people again. Like, I believe it was 66 where they had the female title belt. That would have been cool to see again.
Oh, you're talking about the Emily Corso and Emily Whitmire fight.
Yeah, just fights like that that so many fans were so extremely interested in. To get rematches or more matches up like that, it would have raised the card to another level, I think.
I agree. I like that thinking. Like that thinking. So, since we're going to kind of hang out for about another 30 minutes and just BS and let all the fans kind of get to know everybody, and a big shout-out to Katie. I know you're listening. Thank you for the love and support. You know, we're just going to hang out and talk a little MMA, I mean, you know, about any events. You know, Epic 13, guys, or Epic 15 for anybody out there who didn't watch it. You guys got to go back and watch this card, man. You guys can find it on Go Fight Live TV. What an amazing, amazing card they put on, man, down there in San Diego. And you're talking rematch, and that's why I'm bringing this card up. They had a rematch, and Sam, you specifically will probably really enjoy this. Kyle Klingschmidt versus Chris Lloyd. The first time these two guys met about a year ago was for a title. It was for Kyle's title. It ended in a draw and a lot of controversy around the fight. So they met a year later, almost to the date, real weird. But Kyle came in and demolished Chris Lloyd for all the rounds for the to win to keep his 185 pound title. And for the fans out there, like me, the first fight was so good, and I know this fight was an ass whooping one way, but it was so impressive to see in a year how much superior Kyle's game got than Chris's. I was sitting there just in awe. And then that's the co-main, folks. The main fight is a 135-pound title fight versus Nick Colusa versus Chris Kirk. Chris Kirk, mad talking some smack before that event, throws homeboy in a triangle. Homeboy gets out of the triangle and slaps an armbar in less than a minute, dude, from the bottom. Taps homeboy out, man. It was even the announcers and the referee didn't even know. The referee came over, he asked the guy, why are you tapping? He didn't see the armbar locked in. It was good. Beautiful fights, man. Great fights. I want to tell, Heather down there, she did a great job matchmaking. You guys got to get out and check that out.
Yeah, for sure. I'm always bugging you for freaking links to fights. I'm always sitting in my chair. I get so tired at home just freaking watching stupid. You don't even understand. All I want to do is watch MMA. I want to get out of this chair and I want to go train. So I'm always bugging you and Lapati. I'm like, guys, give me something to do here. So now I'm happy that I'm on the show and stuff. So it's really cool, and I'm going to start watching all these other shows because I think I need to get some more diversity other than UFC and Bellator.
Well, you got to start with the one and only Dare. Caitlin or Sam, have you guys checked out the Dare MMA that I've been putting up every week?
I will admit my wrongdoing on this one, Skippy. Caitlin has no excuse, but I will admit my wrongdoing.
You guys should definitely check it out. Wow. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. We actually have the ring announcer and professional fighter, John Nutt. He will be on Madhouse Live, and he'll also be doing an interview, which I should have done in a couple of days, up on the site. You guys want to see MMA brought to you today's world in today's fashion with the greatest music, cinematography, commentate. I mean, this right here, folks, Dare MMA, just YouTube it. Oh, my gosh, there's nothing better. These guys have the best promotion going right now. It's live from Bangkok. They're the first legal MMA promotion in Bangkok history, and in the whole country of Thailand, for that matter. And you guys will just fall in love. It is done with such a twist. The fighters, when they walk out, Sam, when they walk out, first of all, they walk out through the crowd. They have these huge light bars, and they walk in between all these lights. And they kind of do their pose, and then they jump off the stage and go through the crowd to the ring. When they get to the ring, they put them back to back in the center of the ring. You take 10 steps, turn, and the ref says fight.
Oh, dude, sweet.
That sounds like Sam's kind of show.
I'd totally.
You would eat that up. Oh, my gosh.
I like that kind of simplicity.
These fights are for a $1 million tournament, and that's 5 weight classes, $120,000 going to each winner. It's going to be just an amazing. My math is wrong there, isn't it? Five. However many. Yeah, I just realized. Hold on, that's only $500,000. But yeah, these fights are to get into the tournament, and I like what they're doing. They do an episode. It's one fight on that episode. You'll see guys from Team Quest. You'll see guys from just a lot of top schools in the Orient. And it's great. The commentating, Sam, this guy is so funny. And the way they announce the fighters is the guy just makes up whatever he wants. Like they showed one fighter, he's 22-1 in Thai fighting, and he was like 2-1 in MMA, and he's walking to the ring, he goes, "This is Slasher. He's too young to buy beer in Western America, but he's old enough to kick the bartender's ass." You know, I'm like, yeah, that's great. That's how they announce them, you know. So, yeah, you guys check out Dare, man. You know, Sam, I think you'd love it. Miss Caitlin, same goes for you, the same deal that we have with Go Fight Live TV that, you know, Sam's taking part of and Chris Gregory is, you know, we're the official live results website for Go Fight Live. And on the weekends, man, if you're just chilling and you want to do some live results for them, just hit us up, man. we'll give you the link. And
yeah, absolutely. I'll probably be not busy anymore after, you know, January 2nd.
Oh, is that Memorial Day?
No, that's National Title Day.
Oh, so once again, you guys are going to choke with $65 billion behind
you. Oh, my God. No. Anyways, going off changing topics.
I'm going to
kick butt.
You guys.
Anyways, we had, I want to do a shout out really quick to somebody that commented on my status. Moses Adam Keener, thank you for listening. You're awesome, and I hope you keep listening to Cage Fire Radio. And I believe you just won a fight, so congratulations to you.
Yeah,
there's
he
your
TKO'd
shout-out.
A guy at fisticuffs.
Was it round one or round two?
Yeah, he took him out. I think it was like 123, and Moses will tell me if I'm wrong. It was like 123 in round one. He stood up with the guy for a bit, and then I got him to the ground, mounted him, and chose his shots very wisely. He didn't fight. Moses impressed me. He didn't fight like a gung-ho little kid who just fought for the first time. He picked his shots really good, and Chaos trained him really good on that. So I give props to Moses. He didn't freaking rain down. He trying to TKO the guy right off the bat and waste all of his energy. He fought like somebody who's been in there before. So I give props to Moses for that.
Awesome. Isn't Chaos located in Salem?
Yeah, Chaos is
around
that. High Street in downtown Salem. It's on High and Broadway.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's High. No, it's Broadway. I used to work next to him. Yes, I used to walk by there every day. Subway.
You worked at Subway?
No, I worked at a car shop. I walked.
Oh,
my word.
Oh,
I Subway.
Thought you worked at Subway, too. I was like,
I could imagine Sam making sandwiches.
No, man.
Oh,
I worked at Taco Time. I worked at Taco Time. I made tacos.
Dude,
that's awesome.
I can make you a burrito. It'd be so easy. Beans, enchilada sauce, wrap it up. There you go.
Well, as of me being a chef for 18 years, I can make you a rack of lamb.
Hell yeah.
Actually, dude, you guys should try. I make these pulled pork tacos. I slow cook them in dark beer for 24 hours. And then I shred them and I put them on a hearts of romaine leaf for the taco shell with some fresh pico de gallo. Oh, my God, they're so good.
You're going to have to.
Jesus Christ, he's tiny. I have a bigger chunks of corn in my crop.
Carl, that messed up. You know, so are you guys, has anybody covered anything this weekend that you guys know of yet, or are you guys all got plans? What's up?
I'll be sitting in a chair most weekend, I think. Unless I go to, I don't know what I'm doing this weekend. What's happening this weekend?
Well, two things. One, I was going to see what's going on. I know that, you guys can find me Thursday on ATG covering the fight card for Showdown Fights, which Madhouse will be covering live this weekend. And I tell you what, you guys, whoever on the team wants to cover this event, I'm covered no matter what. This has got Justin Buchholz versus David Castillo for the title, man. And anybody here knows David came into Oregon and beat down John Gunderson at United Combat Sports for his title. Not a week after Gunn killed Carl Parisian and took the show fights title. So that's a really sick card, man. I mean, that's going to be a great card. Locked in the Cage 12 we'll be covering from Philly. What else do we got? I believe Rosticon is this weekend, too.
Is it the next Rumble in like 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, December 15th, I think.
15th. It's the 15th. It's 15th.
What's I thought?
Oh,
yeah,
hey,
I was gonna.
Guys, you two guys, man, you guys got to go back and also watch the Muay Thai at the Mecca, man. Wow. I just remembered that.
Oh,
I covered that event. That was so good.
Hey,
yeah,
UFC is
going
to be on this weekend, Skippy. Your favorite fighter, GSP, is going to be fighting.
Who is that?
GSP? It's your favorite fighter. Remember, I remember you talking about it on Broken Nose Radio. GSP?
GSP, just I know a million fighters, but GSP just does not sound familiar to me as a fighter. Now, I know a great athlete who does fight named George St. Pierre, but a fighter to me finishes fights. A fighter to me is a winner. A fighter to me
right.
is somebody who's not scared to fight Diaz. A fighter to me is a man who would have relinquished his title when he knew he was going to be gone for a year and let those guys fight for a real title and not an interim title and come back like a man and won it. So, yeah, I know a great athlete named GSP that will be fighting this weekend, but I don't know any great fighters named GSP.
Touché.
Sorry, I'm not a fan of his. He's the John Jones before John Jones was around. He is a points fighter. He will never be a finisher. Okay, and everybody's always like, oh, he beat this guy, beat that guy. Remember, he got knocked the F out by shoulder pressure, Matt Serra, okay?
Yep,
so
Matt Serra.
We know he's got a suspect chin, and I think once Condit beats him and takes that title and unifies it, I think Diaz should get the first shot because in my book, Diaz won the first fight. You need to put those two boys back in and make it for a title.
Yeah, buddy. Diaz is one of my favorite fighters.
Oh, is he?
Hell yeah.
Condit?
No, Diaz. I was
pissed
at that fight. I got up and walked home. I had strep throat. When Condit kept running around, I didn't even watch the end of the fight. I just stood up and walked home. I was so pissed off.
But don't feel bad. I was pretty much the same way. I was unhappy with the results of the fight. I thought that Diaz was more impressive. I thought Diaz, won, more of the rounds. Big J, by the way, you can also find Matt Hafakina, the cage, in Edmonton up in Canada this weekend. But I feel like they need to have a rematch. There needs to be a rubber match, and I don't believe that the second time around Diaz will take it so slow in the beginning rounds. I believe Diaz will come out and finish him in the first two rounds. I truly believe
it. Yeah. Diaz is a hell of a fighter, man. He beats people up. Both of them. Nate, too. I mean, like when he fought Cowboy, I remember I was in a house full of Cowboy fans, and I was the only Nate lover, and I was like, just watch. And they kept getting in my face, and once he beat the shit out of him and got to round three, I was flipping them all off and laughing at him.
Dude, well, I got to say, I believe Diaz has got himself a title waiting. He's just got to go pick it up. As the younger brother, I truly believe he's the superior fighter right now. And there's nobody better than him in his weight class. You got to prove it to me, but I don't believe it.
They got to finish him. Those are two fighters I get excited over.
Ms. Caitlin, what do you think?
What do I think about the Diaz? I don't know. I don't follow UFC. I follow local. I just can't get into it. Wow, is this like a cone of shame? Jeez, that was silence.
I just don't know what you're saying over there. You don't follow UFC? I get that.
No, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I can't get into the professional sports. I like watching the amateurs because then you can see them mess up and take pride in their mistakes. And I don't know. And come out looking like a dork.
What are you trying to say here?
Oh, I'm not talking about anybody in particular.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think I know any UFC fighters that would take a fight on like 5 minutes notice.
Over there.
So...
Okay, what's going on? Skippy, did we lose Skippy?
I think we did.
Oh.
Skippy's gone?
Skippy's gone.
Anyways, though, Sam, I was going to ask earlier, what kind of background information do you know about Alex Corrales? Because you guys were talking about him earlier, and I believe we saw him together at Budo Fights 8. And I feel like that was a launching pad for his career because I have seen nothing but him being prominent since then.
I talked to Alex Carlos the other day over messages.
What did he do before Budo? Because I feel like he was completely in a shadow before then.
I didn't talk to him about that. I was talking to him about how cool of a guy he is.
Oh, okay.
I can ask
Real important
him, though.
Information.
I'm sorry. I didn't know I had to go investigative mode on his career.
Well, I was just wondering what you knew about the guy. I mean, that's what I'm saying, is I feel like Budo Fights 8 was just a launching pad, because all I've seen from him is wins and FCFF and getting belts and defending him, so.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Sorry about that, guys. I had to run to the store and get a pack of cigarettes real quick, but I'm back.
Oh, my gosh,
I hope you guys
Kitty.
Are still talking about you guys know me, man. You guys can call me Pack a Day, man, because I'm a
We're actually talking about Alex Carellis, actually.
Oh, well, I'm glad to join that conversation. I love that kid. He's a great fighter, man. Exciting to watch.
Oh, good. We were going to, I was asking, I was telling Sam how I feel like Budo Fights 8 was his launching pad, because all I've seen since then is him having belts and defending his belts and FCFF and Budo Fights. So I was wondering what he was doing before Budo Fights 8.
Well, he was the same thing, honestly. He has slowly been amassing a good winning record. He's been down here at Victor Submission Academy and Smith's Martial Arts for striking, trying to consistently improve it. He started working with David Converse a lot, old man Dave, Raul Bellows, and a couple of them boys out there. And, just to get it, his hands, tightened up. And I think that's really, really made a difference in his ground game, because, he's more dominant on his feet, and he's able to control it and stop the takedowns and put him on the ground when he's choosing to. So, I just think he didn't have the exposure yet. Sam, you're somebody who's on that same path. You're winning fights, but you were a little bit more a sellable product. You're a little bit more of a showmanship. You have that little bit, I love your weigh-ins, man. You're one of the craziest guys at weigh-ins.
Oh, you mean Sam has twinkle toes?
Sam's always got that personality. You want to see him at weigh-ins. You want to see him fight. And no disrespect to Sam in any way or to Alex, but Alex comes to the table totally different. He's very quiet, keeps that hoodie on. He sits there. He doesn't talk to a lot of fans and a lot of people. He gets done what he's got to get done, just like Sam. It's just they both bring a difference. One's kind of a quiet, shy guy, and one's kind of a over-the-top, I'm here to sell a show guy. And neither one is good, neither one is bad by any stretch. It's just, I think Sam was able to get his name out there better by being a showmanship and not having to worry about, who he fought. People didn't care who he fought. They knew when Sam was first starting out, you want to see a fight, you go to a Sam fight. You go see a sea monster go to war. Win or lose, this guy's bringing it. He's leaving everything in the cage. Well, people would be like, Alex is fighting Alex who? Well, we, in the media know who Alex Corrales is, and fighters know who Alex Corrales is. And promoters do.
But fans.
But the fans didn't, because he's not on the social media like Sam is. He's not out there selling himself, showing up with the crazy mohawk and clicking his head to a straight 90 for the pose and making the guy look like a schmuck, because the guy's like, huh? Why is he standing like
that? Yeah, the only reason I remembered him from Budo Fights that night was after his fight, it was like an energy source lit through his body when he jumped off the cage, and I was like, holy cow, he does do things. He does have a personality. So
Exactly.
I remember the first time I met Skippy. It was actually in Salem, and I had purple hair.
Yep.
Skippy called me over, and I'm sorry, Skippy, but when you called me over, I was like, who the hell is this guy with all these tattoos? And then you're like, you're kind of asking me some questions, blah, 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 and you're talking to me about something, and I was like, seriously, who the hell is this guy? I kind of walked away like, what just happened? And I really didn't even know. I didn't know how big you were going to impact my life later on, but I was just like, who was that guy with all the tattoos? Like, what was he trying to tell me? Oh, and I was like, he was saying something about the radio. I should find this guy. So I remember I looked you up after that. I was like, I should probably add him.
Yeah, I remember that night. I won't say who, but I was there with a really cool promoter from another organization. And we were sitting in row 4 all night watching the fights, and we were just trashed. We were so trashed that during one of the fights, my partner grabbed the microphone from the announcer and started just talking into it and doing his own commentating during the fight. It was a fun time. That was a great. That was a what was that? Cage Rage.
Yeah, Cage Rage.
Yeah,
I think it was
Cage
Rage. And that card fell apart too. There was only like 7 fights.
That's the fight you broke McManus's arm in, correct?
Well, just to be clear, I didn't break his arm. He broke his arm on my arm. So I blocked. He broke. So.
Okay, now, you know, it's funny. For as much as I've got to hang out with you over the years and get to know you, I've never asked you this. But sitting right there watching the fight, you know, you watch Dave in his corner. You could tell something was wrong in between round 1 and 2. When round 2 came and you clinched him up and you threw that knee and he put his arm out there to block it, the broken arm, and he turned pale white and dropped the one knee and waved his hand, what was going through your head?
Dude, honestly, I didn't even know he broke his arm. I just remember I was like, okay, round 2, and I'm feeling awesome. Okay. And then I went out there, and I was like, all right, well, me and him are having some fun. And I remember trying to throw, like, a front kick to the face, like Anderson Silva, completely failed. And then when he went up to the cage, I just hit him. And then when he dropped, I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I was like, this is way different than my first fight. But I know to get on him and hit him, and I just kept hitting him, and when he, like, didn't turn over, he didn't do anything. I kind of looked up at the ref. I'm like, dude, I've hit him a lot. Are you going to stop this fight? I'm starting to kind of feel bad. Like, I don't want to hurt the guy. And then when I won, I was just like, awesome. And then he came up to me. He's like, dude, you totally broke my arm. I was like, what? Your arm's broken? He's like, yeah, I broke it in round 1. I was like, why did you keep fighting, man? Like, if you knew it was broken, what? But I had no idea. I was just paying attention to my coaches, and I was in the zone, so I had no idea his arm was broken until after the fight.
Well, you guys, we got about 3 minutes before we're going to bring Lopaki and Leonard on to talk and review Tough. I think there's a good chance that I'll join you next week. It's about 70:30, and after that, you guys are going to be flying solo. Hopefully next week we can tell all the fans about a new sponsor joining the team. I know you're listening, and, you know, anybody out there who knows this company, sometimes you just got to bang. You'll know who we're talking about. You know, I'm going to end up dropping off in a second. You know, everybody follow me at STP Tattoo on Twitter. You guys find me on madhouse.com. Check out the plethora of shows we have. You guys can find our shows on Go Fight Live, Blog Talk, Madhouse, United Combat League's website, MSXN.TV's website. You can find our player embedded on Apex. They have it on there. I mean, everywhere you go, you guys can find Madhouse covering local MMA. YouTube kids, man, Sam, I'm glad you're part of the team. I'll let you guys take the last 2 minutes. I'm out. You guys have fun.
See you, Skip.
Bye, Skip. So, Sam, how are you enjoying co-hosting your show?
I find it good.
Yeah,
it's just me and
well,
you
good.
Alone. Me and you alone.
What?
You. How do you feel?
I don't know. I feel pretty good. How do you feel?
I feel like I need to go take a nap. I'm burnt. It's tough.
Well, that's serious enthusiasm.
You guys make it look easy, I'll admit, but I'm all tired out now.
All right, well, you can go be tired for the next 15 minutes because we're going to bring in Lopaki and Leonard to talk again, continuing from last week about Tough Smashes. So, Lopaki, are you there?
How are you? I'm here.
Is that
Caitlin,
a yeah?
How are you? Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah,
how are you?
I'm good. Leonard is with me, too, so everybody say hello to Leonard.
Hi, Leonard.
How are you doing? Hi.
I'm good. I'm doing good.
I'm cut off this week.
Hopefully not.
It was Caitlin's fault, Leonard, so just, you know, remember that when she's trying to get into your shows at Club Zoo.
Wow.
She hung up on you and everything, bro.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh.
That's funny. Wouldn't be the first woman to hang up on me.
Well, hey, Leonard, this week we got to watch the last lightweight fight on the Tough Smashes with Mike Wilkinson and Grant Blackler. The fight didn't necessarily go the way of the Australians, but what did you guys think about Grant's performance and Mike's also, I guess, since you were there and got to watch it?
You know, they both were good. It was a tough fight, hard fight. Again, Grant is one of those 35ers. Again, I don't want to spend too much time on that, you know, but he is one of those true 35ers who never fought 55, but he did well. Again, nothing taken away from Mike because Mike did what he's supposed to do. You know, for Grant being so little, he kept against the cage for a while. When he got to the ground, you know, Mike did what he did and got the tap out and won the fight. So, you know, congrats to him.
Now, typically I would say that the fight was maybe the most exciting thing to happen on the episode, but this week we saw something that I don't know that's ever happened before in the Ultimate Fighter, where a group of the UK guys ended up using a text message to talk to people outside of the house. How shocked were you and the other coaches from Team Australia when you got that jaw dropper?
We were totally shocked. No one would have expected that. You know, that's like one of the worst things, obviously, that you can do is let out results and of what's happening. You know, they put you in a situation in a house so you stay away from the public just because, you know, it's a show, it's a series. It's like Grant said, I think it was Grant, that it's like giving away the end of a movie. You know, that was a total shocker. No one saw it coming.
Yeah, no, I didn't expect that either. And, I mean, I was just so surprised that they even got a phone in, but then they also revealed that they got it from one of the neighbors. So maybe those guys were spending too much time. Those welterweights for the UK might have been flirting too much with the neighbor girls and not focusing on the training.
Yeah, you know, they're stuck in the house and they have no TV, no radio, no cell phones, no computers. But, you know, that's not an excuse. Our guys had the same. We're put in the same situation. They didn't do it. Yeah, I think you're right. You got to focus on what you're there for. And if you let your mind wander, you know, you get yourself into trouble, which they did. You know, that was the worst possible thing they could do. They're lucky they didn't get sent home.
No, I definitely. And I think that they started to realize that, you know, shortly after Dana got all up in their business. As one of the coaches, and this has kind of been something I've wanted to ask about, because I know that you guys spend a good amount of time with them, but I don't know that you necessarily spend enough time with them to where you can maybe get the improvements that you guys want. Would I be accurate in that line of thinking?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have 7 weeks that we have there with 8 guys, you know, 4 in each division, and it literally goes, your schedule is pretty much twice a day. You have a fight pick, a weigh-in fight. Fight, pick, weigh, and fight, and that continues until maybe the semis when you have a little break. But really, you don't have enough time. You know, just the numbers of repetitions that you need to do just to perfect whatever you're trying to do, you don't have the time to do it. But we weren't trying to, like, change the guys completely. We're just trying to take their style and their strengths that they had and maybe make them a little more polished, you know, a little faster, a little stronger, tweak a little things in the short amount of time we had. But, yeah, that's true. There wasn't enough time to, like, fully train someone like you would, like a 6-week, 8-week camp, you know, for a normal fight.
Yeah, definitely. I understand that. Now, the other thing I find really interesting about this season is that really Team Australia dominated the welterweight class or the middleweight class. What am I talking about? The middleweights. While the UK kind of really handled the lightweights. What is there anything behind that so far through the show? I mean, all 4 lightweights were from UK, and 3 of the 4 of the middleweights were from Australia. Was there that big of a disparity in talent between the two groups in those white weight classes, or was it just the luck of the draw, and that's how the cards fell that night?
I don't think it was much in a big disparity in talent. You know, maybe in a few cases, and again, it's not an excuse, just the fact that weight was a factor. You know, just following who could follow their strategy or their game plan that night. But I think they were pretty close in talent. So, you know, so the guys just had a better night that night and won. So it just worked out that the lightweights had a better night and our middleweights did, you know. So it was, I thought they were pretty fairly matched, other than the weight thing on the lighter weights. But everything else is the same. You know, guys who won, got the wins, deserved it on both the UK and Australian side.
Yeah. Now we know Grant and Richie Voss were both smaller guys that stepped up. But did you think maybe they had some of the better heart on your team across the board, especially Richie?
Definitely. Definitely. No, both of them. I mean, Grant is a beast. They call him Bull Ant, and I found out there, evidently, Bull Ant is like a really strong ant, you know, that never gives up. This kid doing all the cardio and strength conditioning stuff was, if not first, in the very top two of everything he did. I mean, they were 35ers, but they're strong. And Richie's a tiger, and, you know, he's another little guy, but both of those guys had hearts of heavyweights. And, you know, they really fight at 35. They've never fought at 55 before. That was the first time.
Yeah, and then I really thought that Richie, I mean, especially, and I thought Grant had a good fight, but I was just really impressed with Richie. And like you said, I mean, I hope the listeners don't really think it's an excuse, because it's not. I mean, there's
no,
weight classes
for
a reason.
You know, right.
Yeah, I mean, there's weight classes
for
a
reason.
They took
a shot at Right. And I took a shot at an opportunity that, you know, most guys would anyway. So, geez, I would if I could, you know. You take a shot, you know what you're getting into. It's not an excuse. They fully were aware that they would be lighter than the guys, and they took that opportunity, and it didn't work out for them at that weight class. Put them in the right weight classes, they'll do, I hope they get a chance to shine at their own weight class. So, you know, it's ultimately up to Dana, and I hope he gives them that chance, because I think they'll do really well in there. And again, not making excuses, because the UK guys that beat them fought well and deserved the win, you know.
Yeah. Now, there's concurrently running at the same time as Tough Smashes is this Ultimate Fighter they've got down in Las Vegas right now. And I'm sure you've heard just as well as I have about some of the behavior that we see when these guys get to Las Vegas. My question is, Leonard, is when I watch Tough Brazil and now I watch Tough Smashes, and granted, these guys from the UK, they did this ignoramus move with the cell phones. But, I mean, I think overall their behavior and respect for each other inside the house has remained. And why do you think that we've seen a real drop-off in that here in the American version?
You know, I honestly don't know. I mean, you know, just because, you know, I hate to say this, but I've seen maybe part of one episode of the American version just because my schedule is so hectic. So I don't know, but I just could tell you with our guys, we sat down and said, hey, guys, you know, you're not here for the cameras. You're not here to be a movie star. You guys are here trying to get in the UFC. Take it serious. Our guys weren't allowed to drink. You mean they could have. They didn't have to listen to us, because obviously their parents were not with them in the house when they go home. But I think they all understood, and maybe because it's a new thing in Australia and it's the UFC in terms of being there with the big shows, they don't have them as often as they do in the U.S., they realized the opportunity that they had. And our guys weren't willing to do anything that may take them away from that chance of a lifetime. Most of these guys just live in their dream, so they did not want to blow it, which meant they were strict, they were disciplined, and they kept their eye on the prize, and I guess it showed in their behavior, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely think it does. And I think, like you said, I think they're a lot more appreciative of the opportunity, whereas, like, I think that at times I think Americans have this, like, they have this, I don't know the best way to put it, but, like, they feel like they should get things that they don't always, you know, they may not deserve it. They just feel like it's a right when it's really not. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be on The Ultimate Fighter. It's not a right.
It makes total sense. I'm not sure that's what they were thinking. I don't want to say that's what they were thinking. I would hope not. I would hope that they realize it's an opportunity. I mean, just me being an assistant coach was a huge opportunity for me. I didn't want to do anything with my behavior that might have jeopardized me being sent home or anything like that. So I hope they thought the same way, but. You know, I don't know, because like I said, I haven't been watching the show. I don't know. And sometimes, you know, guys get carried away with the cameras in front, and they do things they normally wouldn't do if there weren't cameras in front of them, you know.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Now, it was not all good news for you guys, but in a way, it was kind of, there was some good news in the gray clouds tonight for, or this past week for Tough Australia. you guys had James Vinicolo had replaced Manny Rodriguez Chilate after he broke his leg in his victory over Bola Omanelli. They brought in James to replace him. He was originally, it was thought he would fight one of the UK guys. Then the late decision came in that he would fight Xavier for that spot in the semifinals. Is that what you guys expected to have happen?
You know, honestly, I really didn't know. There's so many twists and turns that happen on a daily basis there that they don't even tell us because they want your true reaction to whatever news is coming out. So we're not privy to a lot of information until it actually comes out. So honestly, being the first time there, for me, I had no clue what to expect. Everything was a surprise.
And then when James was unable to make weight, was that hard on the entire team and the coaches, or was it kind of understandable considering he had such short notice, and was the morale of the team the same after that went down?
No, I think it was both. I think it was both. I think it was both devastating, and everyone understood. You know, I mean, again, this is a guy that got a call as a backup. We didn't think he was going to make the show, so he's excited. He's happy to come in. But in the same token, he wasn't aware that he was going to be an alternate because the show had already started filming. So he came in 20 pounds heavy, and then as soon as you come in, you find out you fight in a couple of days. You know, then he gave it his best shot to try to make it the weight. And, of course, he's part of Team Australia. He was there for, I can't remember how long, you know, enough to make a bond with guys that when you see a guy give it his all to try and make a weight and you don't make it, everybody was devastated, you know. Everybody wants him to do well. And when you see a guy in that situation where you know that he wants to do anything to fight and for whatever reason can't make the fight, everyone feels bad.
Yeah, no, you could definitely see that James was, he was busting his butt to try and make that weight in and out of the sauna and doing everything he could possibly do. You mentioned how hectic it got for you down there, Leonard. Can you maybe talk about that? Was it like being maybe in a dryer all the time and not having a way out, or was it?
In hectic in which way? There's so many different ways.
Like the changes
in our schedule,
and the pace. Yeah, definitely the schedule and like all of the ups and downs of what could go on at any given point so far.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is. The schedule is hard. You're away from your family. You're on a full, busy schedule. You have eight guys on your team that are going through all the emotions of cutting weight, winning, losing, missing their family. It's crazy. You know, when you get done from there, you're like, geez, I need a vacation just to recover from it. But it's an experience that I bet all of us, every single coach and fighter that was there would never give up. You know, it was an opportunity of a lifetime. You know, thank UFC for giving us an opportunity. And it was fun, hectic but fun. You know, would we do it again? Yes. But you know, was it taxing?
No.
Yes. You know, so.
Yeah, definitely. I hope I get to see you on another one of these. Will I be able to sneak up to Fisticuffs there in Vancouver and see any of these Australians training there? Besides George, maybe.
Yes. That's all I can say, yes.
Awesome. That's all I wanted to know.
Can't tell you this time, but yes.
No, that's great, man. Leonard, I mean, I know that you're down in Florida right now, probably getting another guy ready for a camp. I don't know how you do it all the time like that. But, I mean, well,
yeah,
I wish that fighter the
down
best
here,
of luck.
Yeah, we're actually down here, American Top Team, with George. We got like three, almost 4 weeks to the finale. So we're getting him ready.
Yeah.
He's in his training camp, so he's here sparring, doing good, working out with the guys on American Top Team, and you know, we'll be heading back in a week or two, and we'll be back home getting ready to go to Australia for the finale.
That's great, man. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time out again this week, Leonard, and I look forward to chatting with you again next week, and tell George and the guys that we wish you guys luck.
Definitely will. Thanks. I appreciate it, and keep watching because it gets better and better, trust me.
I will be, and I look forward to having that inside source next week so I can get some more scoops, man.
Perfect. I'll be back home, so I'll talk to you guys next week. See you later.
Awesome. Thank you, Leonard.
Bye-bye.
All right. So I would like to announce our newest sponsor, Clench Custom Mouth Guards. First off, I'd like to thank you guys and tell everybody that they need to go out and get clenched. Not necessarily how Skippy did it, but you should do it. And also, again, thank BrawlBase.com and MMA Madhouse. So, yeah, thank you, Karin.
Thank you for
that message, too. You're welcome.
Thank you.
BrawlBase.com. Clinch custom mouth guards. Get clinch.com. We'll be right back.
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.